Hey, what's going on, all you metal listeners out there? This is
Into the Combine.
What's going on, metalheads? I am Shoddy.
Jason.
Stan the Man.
And this is another episode of Into the Combine. We got a good week for you.
A lot of things.
Let's break it down.
Sounds good.
That was This Lying World by Unearth for the breakdown of the week.
Breaking down the week, we're going to be talking about what we're listening to. We're going to finish up the one half of our Metal March Madness bracket. Amon Amarth, Joms Viking. Did I say that?
I think it's Joms Viking.
Joms Viking.
Kind of like Johan.
Yep. Okay.
Joms Viking.
So we got that album review. And then, you know, playing
throwback
off that breakdown.
Album.
Yeah, that throwback album is Unearth's...
A little foreshadowing for you guys.
Yep, The Oncoming Storm. So let's get started, boys.
Whoa. We also got an interview with Trevor from Unearth and talk a little bit about that album. But, yeah, anyways. What are we listening to?
What are you listening to? I know it's going to be a lot...
Start us off, because me and you were fanboying on that album that you told me about.
What album?
Hope for the Dying, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. You put me on the spot there because I wasn't even thinking about
Well,
that.
You sent me this this band, like, I don't know, it was probably 3 weeks ago at this point, really.
Yeah, that's
since
why.
Since the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Hope for the Dying or Hope for a Dying.
Yep.
And
Legacy is the name of the album.
Yeah. When you texted me, you said it was maybe kind of like progressive metalcore, which is a pretty good description, but I would say barely metalcore.
Well, remember, I was like confused though because they like do some weird stuff where it's kind of like that. I hate to say it's.
Is it genty?
No, not by any means. It's we're getting, and I don't
it's
know if I'm gonna be an asshole.
Well,
it's
to it.
But where it's almost like it's that new kind of like metal sound that we're hearing almost. Like I feel like I've heard it in the Textures album. It's kind of just like the way.
I don't know, man. I would describe it like there's a little bit of progressiveness. Like you could almost hear a little, like Between the Buried and Me and August Burns Red.
Well,
in
it's
there.
The musicality is what I'm leaning or I'm hinting towards there. Mm-hmm. I think it's because they're bringing both of them use. You know, they're not heavy in the key section, but they
there's
do have.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's that strong presence though, where it's
kind
enough.
Of like it could have fit into our battle music episode.
Yeah.
Some kind of like an inferiory kind of mm-hmm. thing. Very. It's just. When I was listening to it, I actually thought to myself, like, it's kind of what I want, like, August Burns Red to kind of, like,
go into. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that, because you have some of the metalcore. Well, the vocalist is definitely, like, comes from metalcore.
That's why I'm kind of confused where, how to categorize them, and it's kind of why I say it's, like, not the new direction of metal, because obviously everybody's not going in that.
They're
mixing stuff, and it's just a new sound. It's, you know,
it is fresh.
Yeah.
And it's mostly good. There's probably maybe a couple songs where it's not as exciting as, like the first few I really liked, and then, like, mm-hmm. I remember, like, the last few I really liked. But as a whole, I mean, it's just a really good album.
Yeah,
we
I mean,
play something from it.
Yeah, we should. I mean, there's there's a lot to play from it. I think it's a good album from start to finish. I don't know what you're talking about with the middle there, but I feel you. I mean, at times...
No, it is. It's well, good. I mean... Like, some are really good.
Well, the middle of the album, like Trenches, you know, 7 minutes and a half. Wretched Curse is an 8.5 minute song. So I get, you know, because a lot of it is... It gets into the more of the progressive side in the middle of it. But yeah, we should play something from it. The Setting Sun, maybe just the second song.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. The keys actually kind of threw me off at first a little bit, but then you kind of have to let it sit in. Well, but
yeah, I felt it wasn't the same
so
way.
Maybe that's just that song, maybe not so much progressive, but yeah.
I was gonna say that the little section,
but that little transition
played,
it just went into,
you kind of have to hear it as a whole.
Yeah, it doesn't really do them justice, because I mean, they shred too is another thing, so it's not, yeah, you kind of need to listen to
I
it
recommend
as a whole.
Starting with one. It's got an instrumental start.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think of like some score, like Lord of the Rings score, like intro. It's like this very familiar thing, and it definitely goes into some good stuff. I mean, progressive isn't the right word for it. That's why we're kind of saying more like progressive metalcore, honestly, is the closest
that's
I can
what,
get
yeah,
to it.
It's definitely metalcore, but yeah, it's like symphonic. You don't hear a
but
lot
it's,
of that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. It's,
there's not a ton of like breakdowns, and I mean, you know, it's just, it's not... Like, it's not an August Burns Red album, which mm-hmm. is definitely metalcore. You know, it's just got
I mean,
a little something
do,
different.
They do take you on the technical train rides, mm-hmm. though, especially in some of the longer sections where there is more shredding and the two guitars are playing off of each other a little bit more. So, I mean, that's why I guess I so, yeah, you're right. It's not necessarily prog in, you know, the whole... It's like prog metalcore with, like, mm-hmm. a lot of technical influences here.
If you're someone
there.
Who's, like, bored with just the normal metalcore, then I would say listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't like metalcore at all, it's not, you still might like it, because it's
exactly.
really not that kind of thing.
Yeah, I have, it's kind of weird that you brought that up. I kind of was getting a little bit bored of, like, I was in, like, metalcore mood, but kind of getting bored with it, so my throwback album I've been listening to, I went to prog metalcore, which was Misery Signals.
Really?
Controller.
Oh, okay.
And I just forgot how damn good that CD
Controller,
is.
Controller, that's one with like Failsafe and everything,
yeah.
right?
Yes. And nothing. I mean, that CD is like so cool. It like got me back into playing guitar and, you know, just like
God,
learning progressive stuff and like, yeah.
Is that your favorite by them?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I do like Mirrors a lot too, but either one, they kind of go hand in hand. I haven't really got into Absent Light a lot, but I heard
I
good things about
it.
Yeah.
Very heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, still, Mirrors would be, I think, the favorite.
Yeah,
but
it's
like
for
they,
me as
every
well.
Album is good.
I agree. Mirrors just...
They're just a solid band. I mean, mm-hmm. they do stuff so differently. I loved it.
You wonder why they're not, like, a little bigger.
I know.
They should be. Maybe on the right label or something.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, really, the last album they put out, it was really good. It was mm-hmm. very heavy. nothing too new, but it was, you know, they were progressing their sound a little bit.
Is that Absent Light?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I have it. I just haven't really gotten a chance to listen to it.
It took me a couple listens. It was like, I think 2 years ago, and it's, I had it on my phone for a while, so I put it on the gym a lot.
Yeah. Oh,
very
okay.
Good. Very good. For me, besides, you know, Shawty, I listened to what you had sent me a little bit, and then because of this Amon Amarth category, I got into a big-time melodic death metal mood. And then I came across this band that I wish I would have heard of sooner, but I never had before, and it's called Omnium Gatherum. Have you guys ever come across them?
No. Never, no. Omnium Gatherum.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like, a mix between maybe Insomnium, you know, really melodic,
mm-hmm, yeah,
with some of the, like, newer Dark Tranquility, some of those albums where they definitely are pushing the melodic parts. I don't know, there's parts in here that are just, it's like very catchy and very melodic. You know what I mean? It's not like an At the Gates melodic death metal or a Black Dahlia melodic death metal. This is like sugary kind of melodic death metal.
Yeah.
But the vocals are heavy and low enough to where it really balances it all out. And they're just like earworms, like just, I mean, parts that like you can't help but get into.
Mm-hmm.
The album is called Gray Heavens. It's very good. It was released this year, 2016, but they've got a lot of good albums out. They are, I'll say this, I'm still more into like their singles than I am full albums, but I would recommend this one to anybody. So I'm going to play a little bit of Frontiers just to I just want you guys to get a feel for like what I'm talking about when I'm saying, like, you know, definitely the more melodic side of things.
Yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's like very poppy and
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's still
I like the melodies,
mm-hmm.
the singing over it. I don't know.
That's what makes it for me.
Really?
Because if it didn't have that really low, I'd be like, this might be a little too sugary.
It's like, well,
I'm saying it. The guy kind of a little bit ripping off of Amon Amarth singing wise.
A little bit.
That's the only thing.
Because it was weird. Because I was listening to that album so much, and I definitely heard a lot of Johann in this. But I mean, I love Johann, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, but it's so low. I don't know. It is very good, I think. But, I mean,
those are some pretty parts.
Isn't it?
Like it's very pretty.
Yeah, I like it.
It is, like, very, like, uplifting. It's, like, that kind of melodic death metal. Like, it's a feel-good album. But that's probably the most singly kind of song on there. The first five, though, you can't go wrong. Like, definitely, if you want to just check them out, just at least the first five. They still haven't hit their peak, you know. Because like I said, their albums are good, but if you took all the singles from each of them and put it into one fantastic album, one of those that you would just like, you can sing along to kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just like the uplifting kind of album. But anyways, anything else from you guys?
Well, it's kind of, I've been still in a melodic death metal mood, but I was going kind of the more of aggressive.
Yep.
Nothing new. I just checking out albums I, you know, almost kind of forgot about, but
yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever got into a Predator's Portrait by Soilwork.
Oh, by Soilwork.
No.
I mean, I really, like, dove in and
dissected that album, and it's probably one of the best like melodic death metal
albums. What year is that one?
It's like one of their first ones.
Because I was on a kick a while ago, but I don't know by name that well. I kind of was just listening to everything.
It's one of the earlier ones, but I actually got it off of eBay, and I've just been running it straight through. But I mean, I really like the old Sill Oil work. It's really aggressive, mm-hmm. really, really hard.
A little more raw than they are now, but, for sure.
And then I forgot about this band. I don't know if you guys ever heard them. Disharmonia Mundi?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's Italian band. One guy kind of project, but it's got the Soilwork singer.
I remember you telling me about this. Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, it's almost a, I wouldn't say a guilty pleasure, but it's a very almost alternative sounding.
Okay.
But he's like him in that album, Bjorn, I think his name is. Really aggressive. It's like, I think it's some of his best work.
Really?
Like, besides Soil work. Yeah, he's just a guest singer, but...
Oh, that's interesting. I don't
know.
Yeah,
I would definitely... That. It's called Mind Tricks, the album.
Mind Tricks.
Yeah.
So we'll have to listen to this, too.
Yeah.
Melodic death metal from Stan.
Yeah.
You're going to be like the go-to guy.
Yeah, I just...
It's too good of a genre.
It's too easy. I mean,
yeah, it's...
Because you can listen to metalcore one day and go back to that. You can listen to stuff like Lamont of Marth and go back to that. You know, it's easy...
Sometimes I'm surprised you don't see melodic death metal getting bigger than it is.
Oh, I know.
You know, with the explosion you had from like metalcore, I mean, you can see most people who like metalcore transitioning over to melodic death metal pretty easily.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like it should have been the other way around.
But this Disamario.
Probably with some of that. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, not. I don't know. I just feel like.
Well, because you think of like a lot of the early metalcore, like we're going to be talking about, and you get so much of that early influence from the like In Flames and all that and the riffs.
Yeah.
Somebody from who, you know, younger people like we got into metalcore and then I went into In Flames. That was my trajectory. And I'm just saying, it's the
whole 2020 thing. Like you get what I'm saying? Like now looking at it, I feel like it would have been, you know, it should have been the way that it, you know, came just because.
I mean you would have rather been with melodic death metal first?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
I'm just saying with the big mainstream popularity of metalcore, I guess it's just that kids don't really want to like dig in and see what else is out there. I guess that's what it is. But if people like started to, all right, you know what I think they should do is package bands. Like you get a band like...
They're not that smart, man.
No, I know. But these label people, these managers, like you should take a band like August Burns Red or Killswitch or any of the younger metalcore ones. And then you pair them with like a Dark Tranquillity, In Flames, like any of those bands. I feel like there'd be so much crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it'd be a nice show. It's something that I'd like to go see, but...
I think you could get the fans from both. But anyways...
I got one more, or I don't know, I guess we can go as long as we want, but I got another album. It's a weird one. I know I sent you guys both it. One may have liked it, one, I don't know if he didn't like it
or
not.
The techno
shit? Yeah, yeah. It's,
I do want to talk about this.
I think it's a two-piece. I don't know, it was real weird.
It was weird, yeah.
It was weird, but I liked it, because I personally like that shit, so...
It makes sense for you, because you like what, drum and bass and all that
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's... They're called The Algorithm, and the album is called Brute Force, so it plays, you know, into all of that. Like, the album or the song names are all different, you know.
There's some good lead work on it.
Yeah, there's some good lead work. I don't know, it's just...
Play a really short clip of it.
Okay. It was, first of all, it was weird, because, like, to mix the two genres together, so, I mean, I don't know.
Part of me doesn't want to like it, because it seems like it's too much.
Yeah.
And but then part of me is like, it's not bad.
I fucking loved it.
Did you?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
I was digging that shit. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like,
I didn't see that from you, Stan.
Oh, no, I don't even like that kind of music, and I love that.
Well,
okay.
I love that. I don't know. I think with that, you sent it to me at the right time. I was like really into like progressive, like arpeggio, like, you know, listen to a lot of BT Bam, like,
oh yeah,
you know, so I loved it.
I don't know. It's just like I'm not a huge fan of the like really produced, like machiny sounding kind of thing.
See,
but I mean, it makes sense for that.
I can see.
I'm not cutting it down. It's just not really my.
I agree. See,
cup of tea.
I personally hate, like the whole like EDM scene. Like, I don't really like, there's a big difference, and we're getting on a completely off topic tangent here, but drum and bass is completely different from EDM, or what is the other what the hell do they call it?
Electronic bullshit.
Yeah, but what was Bass Nectar? What was he? What was the heavy bass drop shit? Dubstep.
Yeah, Skrillex.
Skrillex, that's garbage. I'm sorry. Whoever I'm gonna offend there. But yeah. And there's a big difference. And this has more of the drum and bass side of things, mm-hmm. with, because I mean, if you look at, there's a music video I think for Floating Point. And he's doing, I mean, I don't know exactly what, you know, it's a video, but he's using a controller and he's modding his guitar sound and then playing around with it, you know, through some external software. Mm-hmm. So he's not just sitting up there with presets. If anything, he's playing something, you know, looping it and then modding it on the fly. And then the drum, they're just sending through to have, you know, effects and shit. So, I mean, it is a drummer sitting there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is, so there's a backtrack sometimes for the drum, but most of the time it's just the harmony of them two going back and forth.
It's unique. If you had that on the car, I wouldn't complain.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily.
It's girlfriend music. Like, I mean, she, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're driving around with a female, like it still has that metal, but it can still.
There's no vocals, right?
No. And I think, it's completely instrumental.
So. I was impressed by the drums, 'cause he kept it to where he had the EDM feel to it, but it was also very metal.
Yep. It still kind of
made
heavy.
The whole music.
Yeah.
Just something new.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple weeks ago, when I was pouring through the thousands of fan letters and fan emails up to my neck, and you know, requests and questions from the fans, I finally made my way and found one from Sarah Wells on Twitter. And she asked us, do you have any guilty pleasure songs or just bands that people are surprised that you would like? So, I mean, I feel like we could go about this different kind of ways.
I really like this question.
First off, you get the debate on guilty pleasures. Some people say, fuck that, you shouldn't be guilty pleasures. Some say that there are. So it's a not, you know what I mean? How do you want to approach this?
It's, there's a lot of bands I know you're going to think it's a, you know, with the stuff I listen to, like a prom queen or something like that. That's like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see, that's the thing is, it's a guilty pleasure to him, but it's music to us. So
exactly.
Like,
it is hard to go
so
about it.
Is,
so I'm going to, I just want to talk about some of my guilty pleasures. I don't think, I mean, some one's pretty, you know, I guess I'll just start
let's
it
hear
out.
It. Yeah, let's
okay.
hear it.
So I guess this is a nostalgia thing though too, but I really fucking love this album still to the day.
Nostalgia plays a lot of role in
it does.
Kind of thing, you know?
But I still listen to the CD probably once a month, and it's Under Oath, They're Only Chasing Safety.
Really? You listen to that much?
Yes,
wow.
I really
oh,
do.
Shit.
Still
why aren't
the
day. You going to see them when they play this?
Because I feel like that part of my life, I don't know, it's not like, I'm not pumped to go to Under Oath show anymore, but I still do listen to this.
I'm fucking shocked.
And it's a guilty pleasure, like, I just love it still to the day, and I know nostalgia is a huge part of that, but, you know, that's one of
mine. I think if an album, if that came out now, you probably wouldn't even listen to it.
No, I wouldn't, but.
But it just brings you back.
Yeah.
I mean, we were big into that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I did that once, like, 2 years ago or something, and it was fun to listen to, but. See, for me, I went like, okay, what am I actually guilty about? Like, something like that, honestly, I wouldn't even say guilty pleasure, just because, like, fuck it. I mean, that's solid music. It's whatever.
Yeah.
For me, guilty pleasure is, like, shit that's on the radio that I know, honestly, is bad. Like, okay, I'm going to go here with this, and I know you guys are going to hate me. And
whatever,
it's
dude. Get it off your chest.
Florida Georgia Line. Okay.
I was singing it at the fucking bar last week.
Okay. Horrible. They don't write their own shit half the time. This is produced for the masses. It's mainstream poppy country. You know what I mean? So for me, that's pretty fucking guilty pleasure. But
oh,
you know what?
Wait, hold on. I don't mean to interrupt. I thought we were just doing metal. Like,
that's what I'm saying. No, this is just guilty
pleasure. Oh, I can go on for...
That's why
I was going
to
wait until he got done. Because like anything that, you get what I'm saying, is would fit within this podcast, regardless of how light it is. If it's still metal, it can't really be a guilty pleasure. Because
I
like,
say like what you like.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
So don't feel guilty about it. But I do. But the only time I feel guilty about it is stuff like this.
Over,
where it's like,
yeah.
It's written by someone
else. It's not
else.
Music.
They use science to see what people are going to get into. It's like, it's a selling. It's a
Yeah, it's
market.
Not music. It's not. It wasn't. Yeah. The people who are up there performing didn't write the song. No. Yeah, it's.
I mean, I know they do a little bit.
But
listen,
them, dude.
I live in the country. It's a summer album. I put that on. I feel happy. I feel good. So that's my guilty pleasure. And I'm admitting it to everybody.
Shoddy.
I mean, I'm forced to listen to the radio on occasion, but like when I'm on my own, I what I was alluding to earlier, I listen to a lot of drum and bass, but I mean, I guess it's not metal. So I guess you can say that that's a guilty pleasure, but like, it's literally, it's like metal or it's like drum and bass. Like when I need to take my sabbaticals from metal,
yeah.
I'll just put on like, you know, I'll just listen to drum and bass.
So that's yours.
Yeah. I totally went about this wrong. I thought it was just metal specific.
No, dude,
I love jazz too. I guess that's another guilty pleasure, but
yeah,
I guess
but
I don't really sit down. Yeah, I don't sit down and listen to it.
Yeah,
that.
Jazz,
I mean,
that's not a guilty
when
pleasure.
I, well, yeah, see, that's exactly like, but like, I don't necessarily sit to, like when I
what
really need to unwind.
What would you want no one to know that you like? There's got to be something.
I'm very vocal about what I like. I mean, you guys know more than anyone. I fucking love Lady Gaga. I fucking love Katy Perry.
See,
like,
and I would, and
I
guess
I just didn't know we were going this direction.
And
okay.
I have been caught on occasion singing some of those times from them female artists. I mean,
Katy Perry. It's mostly I like looking at her. Like, you know, it's Katy Perry to a guy. But I mean, I really love like Lady Gaga. I love everything about her music. Like, I don't know.
There
it's
you
just,
go.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, there was a time where there was this dumb Ariana Grande song stuck in my head for like a fucking week. But it's because like it was on like.
Don't try and justify.
Well, dude, think
it.
About
you
it.
Like
it's
it.
On the radio, and then you walk inside of the Target, and then it's on, and then
your throat.
Yeah. So it's like when you hear it 9 times in a day, it's like, and then it got stuck in my head for a week. So.
No, I got you there. My other one that would be like just surprise that you like, I think I've mentioned the band before, maybe not on here, but they're called Saint Lucia. And it's just like 80s synth pop kind of a feel. Like kind of like some of the shit you hear on the radio with like Walk the Moon if you listen to any kind of like pop shit. I like 80s stuff. You know, I'm a sucker for anything 80s pop, you know, much more than any new pop. And Saint Lucia, I think, is pretty badass. So that's just like one that you might be surprised that's outside of the metal world that I like.
See, I mean, it's been a while since I've listened to him, but like I used to love Andrew Bird. I mean, that was
a surprising one, right?
Yeah. But I mean, it's been. I mean, I know he's had. I think I want to say it's just been one album
singer
that I have been
kind of deal.
Yeah. I mean, an amazing singer songwriter. I mean, he stands up there on a stage by himself, and then. Has a couple of loop pedals and then lays his tracks down and then sings his songs that way. So
what a loser. This guy's listening to singer-songwriters.
Yeah, right?
This guy's listening to Katy Perry. You guys heard it first.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyways, back to the metal.
Yeah.
Let's finish that metal bracket we were talking about last week.
Yes, let's do that.
2 weeks or whatever the hell it was.
Yep, the post-2000.
If you don't know what's going on, go back to our episode 25, I think. We started this. We started this metal bracket that Stanley Wolak III came up with for us. Mostly his favorite albums. None of ours that we had no input. So if you don't like it,
I liked a lot of them on here. I'm not gonna lay that all on
him. No, we did. Yeah, we liked some of it.
All right, so start from the top then.
So we did our first round. We're in our second round now. We're gonna jump right into it.
Got Comeback Kid, Wake the Dead, Horrendous, and Nerretta.
CB.
I'm going to go with Horrendous here.
Comeback Kid.
I'll probably go with Horrendous, but that's like, you know, I could change daily. Comeback Kid, Wake the Dead's a classic.
Yeah. So then what did you go with then?
We're going with,
Comeback.
We're going with Horrendous. That's moving forward.
What is moving
Horrendous.
Forward? Horrendous. Okay.
Just because that's where I'm at this year.
Okay.
For sure.
Next we have Dark Tranquility, Damage Done, and then Killswitch Engage, Alive.
Killswitch
Engage.
I'll agree. Killswitch, Gojira from Mars, Opeth, Watershed.
Yep.
Faceless, Planetary Duality, and
he's a little announcer.
Cattle Decapitation, Anthropocene.
What was the first one? Faceless.
Yeah.
Cattle.
Faceless.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Okay. Next we have Cannibal Corpse Kill. This is After the Burial, Rare Form.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's a hard one.
It is.
because Rare Form is such a damn good CD, but I still...
I'm gonna say Cannibal's more of a discography band for me. So if like
for one CD, Rare Form is so damn good.
Yeah, Rare Form is really
I'm gonna go Rare Form.
If I'm being honest with myself, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard though.
What is this? Oh. As I Lay Dying, an ocean between us. Wait, is it an ocean between us?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And then the Black Dahlia Murder, Deflorate.
Deflorate by far.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Deflorate.
Still wish you would have picked a different one, but definitely it's still great.
I
guess we'll agree to disagree, but
Between the Buried and Me, Colors, Job for a Cowboy, Sun Eater.
It's gotta be Colors.
Yeah, oh, for
sure. Yeah, it's gotta be Colors. I know.
It's a great album.
It is a great album,
but Colors already stands the test of time for me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
We already know it's just so high on our list every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a freaking amazing
album. That's true.
But props to Sun Eater for sure.
And last we have Fit for an Autopsy. Oh, that's Absolute Hope. Absolute. This is getting ridiculous. And then Children of Bodom, Follow the Reaper.
It's a hard one for me.
That is hard.
Dude, I haven't listened to Follow the Reaper in a while, so that's hard.
It is hard.
I'm going to go COB.
I'm going to go, like, just because, like, Fit for an Autopsy, that's a fucking great album.
That's a great album,
and I'm gonna throw it to that, even though, like, I don't know.
And I'll be honest, I would have went a different COB, so that's maybe why.
Which one would you have done?
Hatred Death Row.
Really?
Yeah. For post 2000, I probably would have went because it was later. We're getting into semantics now, and maybe.
Yeah.
I just like that one more. So maybe if that would have been on here, I would have.
It's tough. I mean, yeah. That was definitely a good album from this year. So I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna hand over the microphone to Stan. Let him do the rest of this, or I guess this portion of the
round
bracket.
Three.
Round three.
All right, we're down to the Sweet Eight. I don't know what they call it in sports. But
just be four for this side because we still got to do the other side.
Oh yeah. Okay. But all right, first up, it is Horrendous versus Killswitch Engage.
That's hard. I'm gonna go with Horrendous though.
I think I'm going to give it to Horrendous too.
Wow.
Just because
over Alive and Open.
I know. It's
a good album, but that Horrendous is like fucked.
Though. I really think that one's going to hold up, and I think that's going to be like a classic.
One of the first things I did after I finished this, so I had to do a bracket myself, and I think Killswitch got into the
it was your last
finals
one.
On this one. Not it didn't win it, but all right, next we got is Opeth Watershed versus Cattle Decat.
Watershed.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too.
It's a great album, but Watershed's, yeah. All right. After the Burial versus Deflorate.
Deflorate.
Mm-hmm. That's another one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Rare Form.
I think I'm going to have to go Rare Form too.
Okay. And, it is Fit for an Autopsy versus Colors.
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 Yeah. All right. We're down to four. Horrendous versus Opeth.
Opeth. Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
And After the Burial versus BT Bam.
BT Bam. Now we're at the bar.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got
we should just say this
is how it should have ended, though.
Yeah.
We came to the right conclusion here.
I guess. I mean, fuck you guys.
What would you have put for the end?
Dude, there's an Inferi album on there,
before
all right?
Before these two? Before Colors? Dude?
Yeah, seriously, before Colors. Because there's, like, Colors was good, but then, like... Colors evolved and you had Inferi. And it's the next level.
You were high when you're
it's the next level.
This is like the WrestleMania of metal brackets.
Yeah,
right here. This is main event.
It's
like Opeth versus Colors.
Come on. I mean, those are two elite.
I know.
You know, 10 years from now, Colors is going to
This
stand.
Is the Rock versus Stone
I know,
Cold.
But it's like.
I think Watershed will stand up.
It just sucks ass that it's post 2000 and it happens to, be. Such a why, like, think about it. There's like 14 year, 16
this is just
years worth of music.
I know,
and I'm thinking about it too much.
Pick one. Guns to your head.
Opeth.
You got 2 sec.
Wow.
Yeah.
That amazes me.
Really tough, dude.
I'm going Colors.
Dude, that's really tough. I'm the tiebreaker.
It's just like they were both, it's hard because, you guys are right. They were both, personally for the three of us, they hold a very high... stature. So it's hard.
I thought I was going to go Watershed. I think I'm actually going to go Colors. I think I'm going to do it. Opeth versus BT Bam, I pick Opeth. You know what I'm saying?
I agree too.
Colors versus Watershed. Colors, yeah. It's got a nostalgia feel, and it's just a phenomenal album. Yeah, mm-hmm. Colors. I just won that bracket.
All right.
Well, stay tuned for pre 2000
coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
But on to what do we got? We got our album review.
Amon Amarth, Yams Viking. You guys been listening to this one a lot?
Yeah. Initial reviews, or I mean, rating.
Initial reviews, or
well, I mean, I got
the rating today.
The rating today. I meant to say that. Like, let's do that first to get the rating out there, and then talk about it.
That's how much I like it.
8.0.
I agree. Yeah, and it's an 8 as well for me.
I was gonna go 7.5, and then I gave like the last listen today bumped it up a half a notch.
If I was like being an objective reviewer, or like in a magazine or whatever, it would probably be an 8. But I'm giving it a 9 just because, like, I enjoyed it a lot.
See, and I enjoyed it a lot, but just looking at it objectively, I had to, there was...
I mean, I get that, because it's another, at the end of the day, it's another Amon Amarth album.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything crazily different. Well, it's not that it's a lot better than the other ones.
I argue that, I don't know, I haven't, it's not that I wasn't into the last albums that came out, it's just, I feel like they stepped it up a little bit musically, mm-hmm. but the vocals are still the same. So it's like, it's that...
I think a little more.
I almost completely disagree with that.
You think it's the other? See,
I find this album very simple sounding.
It is.
But I think it's built around the...
I'm with you.
The vocals.
I'm with you, Stan.
Because
for the most part.
I'm telling you right now, the first time I listened to this, I was giving it like a solid 5. Ooh. I was like, I couldn't do it almost.
And was it the first time that you just thought that it was bland?
It
grown on me
every time, but it didn't get to that level. And then I kind of started reading about it. And the concept behind it, and it makes sense now why the music is so simple.
I didn't read the concept about it, so it's like that's stupid to me. That while I understand why bands do that, like I should be able to put the album in, and the album should speak for itself. I shouldn't have to listen to something to understand.
I guess I'm biased because I did know the concept going into it, but I think if you put headphones on and did nothing but like drove and listened to it or something like that, and really listened to the lyrics, or read along to the lyrics, I think you would have pulled it out.
See,
from that.
Well, yeah, you're right. Well, no, I mean, I pulled out the story of the war and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I pulled out.
There's way more in this.
There's
one
way
that.
More. Yeah. So,
essentially, it's like a Viking who's in love with a girl. Mm-hmm. He accidentally kills someone. He has to leave. This girl's getting married off, and then it like side goes into like his. Hold on, it just goes into like his journey of like. Just for anybody who doesn't know what's going on in this album, is his journey of like becoming. I don't know. I guess a man becoming a Viking warrior. And then eventually he comes back and has to like kind of fight for her, and it ends in a bad way. But it's just like when I listen to it, that's why I put this a step above some of the other ones lately, because I feel like I'm listening or watching a movie.
See, and I guess that's what I didn't like, is I didn't like the story. So that's I found myself listening to the lyrics and not caring about what he was saying, and almost wishing that it was non-legible metal vocals. Audible metal vocals. Like at times I felt myself just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like I got bored of it.
The reason I'm rating it so high though, is I realized what they were trying with it, and I thought they'd done it really well.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'd rather have the in your face, like the Twilight or.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think those are more in your face than
this? I do.
But
this
think
has got tons of in your face.
See,
stuff.
And I don't think Twilight is as technical as this album. I just feel like they did a lot of shredding and they were playing with the guitars back and forth at times. The drums did some cool shit here and there. And I felt like Twilight was. The beat was there, you were marching, and then you had, Johan just chanting at you. This one, it's more. I hate to say more all over the place, but I feel like if anything, we couldn't march to battle to this one.
No, Twilight makes me want to get up and fuck up shit.
Yeah.
But this one, I'd rather sit down and
just listen to
story.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, I don't know.
If you put on a Dawn's First Light, you don't want to go into battle?
I do. For that song, though, that's like...
Don't get me wrong. There's very... some of the riffs are some of the coolest riffs I heard out of this band.
I'll keep going.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I just wanted him to be a little bit, I guess,
I know they did lose their drummer. Maybe that has a...
No, I think the drums are awesome, dude. I liked it. Yeah. I get you, though. I'm just saying, speaking, I thought it was fine.
But yeah, it's definitely got the same feel. It's got the same chord progression, you know.
To me, it's a really, really fun listen for me.
I agree.
And I listened to it quite a bit. We got this one early. We got this one in advance, which was awesome because it gave me a little more time to kind of digest this one. And I was really into it. And then what solidified it was when we went mountain biking. And I played this during it. And when you really start listening to the lyrics and you're mountain biking, you're like giving it your all. I'm talking about going up hills and just, you know what I mean? You're really tired. And you're listening to like, what's that Viking training song where they're like talking about getting ready for battle. I don't know, man. You have to, I like really listening to Modern Mark lyrics. For me, that is half of the band.
Mm-hmm.
Like Shoddy, what you're saying, like if I wasn't paying attention to all that, I would knock definitely a point off because they're not doing a ton of new things with it. But if I'm even, let's just say we take away the lyrics and the story and all that. I think they really wrote some really professionally catchy songs in this.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like solid, like their songwriting is just like, it's like top form right now, I think. I see what you're saying where like there could be a little more of a drive.
But I still that's the thing though, is I'm agreeing with you and I like that. And I like the, you know, the more out of the box, you know, for them, you know, sort of, I don't want to say melodic, but you're exactly right though. It's more catchy at times.
It is.
So, and it's not, that's not Twilight by any means.
Well, I just think too, I mean, if they would have put out another Twilight, another just see honestly, we have so many Modern Marth albums at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like this was such a breath of fresh air for me.
It was.
Being a concept. And I see what you're saying. Like, it's not, I didn't agree at first with it not being as in your face, but I think you have a point because they did say like they wrote this album around the storyline. Mm-hmm. So you start with a song and that has to fit the story to it. So, and I did feel that those ups and downs and whatever they were kind of singing about, the music kind of fit that. So I can see where you're saying, like, maybe it's not us just throwing it in your face, not really worrying about the lyrics. But that's what I liked about it, because it did feel different than the past couple of Modern Marth albums.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it an 8. I mean, I liked it. That was just the one thing.
What did you guys think of Raise Your Horns?
I didn't actually like that song that much.
I liked it.
It's one of my least favorites on the...
Can we play the chorus for that?
Yeah, play it.
You don't want to get drunk at a Modern Marth show with this?
I there's something about
is
that
it too
song.
Cheesy for you?
It kind of is, yeah. I think that's what it is.
I get that.
I mean, I like it, but it is too cheesy. It's kind of like getting to that point where, I don't. It's just cheesy.
You know, though, that's like
it's like a brew pub, you know, like something.
It is.
Like I could just imagine like a bunch of drunken Vikings around like a campfire singing it, and the whole thing just seems really, really cheesy to me.
I feel like it falls a little bit into like a Ansiferum or some of those that are, you know, pagan metal bands. They kind of have fun with it a little bit. I'm okay with them not taking themselves 100% serious and kind of like doing that kind of stuff. I mean, they're a Viking band. Like, they're a Viking metal band. Like, how serious can you really take yourself?
Do
you know what I'm saying? I'm okay with having fun with it, personally. But I have seen online, like, some people, it's definitely a dividing song.
Yeah.
Some people really like it, some people think it's too cheesy. But we're going to play it anyways.
Fall hard and prevail brutally.
his vocal stylings there too. I like how he's just doing something different.
I like the way he works with the guitars and stuff. It's just, yeah, that song's, I don't know. I'm on the L1.
Maybe I'm just kind of like nerding out on it. Like I can picture it, like the storyline. I can picture all that. And to me, it's like watching a movie. You know what I mean? So I can get behind it.
Maybe I listened to it a little too much, and maybe that's why I just kind of got a little like the chanting, and I don't know. Because it's,
try once more, just like read what's behind each.
I'm gonna do that, and then I'll listen to it again.
I'm just really curious. Yeah, if you change your mind at all?
Okay,
because I really know I like it way more because of that.
Yeah. What's other favorites on? I mean, obviously, First Kill's pretty awesome.
First Kill's really good.
Yeah, that's one of their best songs. I think
their second single at Dawn's First Light. I really like that one too.
It's good. Yeah, I like
Iron
it too.
Maiden leads that they've got. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like super new wave British heavy metal leads in that
See,
one.
I liked On a Sea of Blood.
One Against All, I One think Against was my favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say the middle of the CD is real good.
I will say, Stan, I agree. One Against All. I think 1 through 7, you know, I like The Way of Vikings. That was when I was talking about where they're like Viking training. Like, it was pumping me up when I was, whatever, working out or anything. And then at Dawn's First Light, I think is great. I do think there's two filler tracks, and I think it's 1,000 Burning Arrows and Vengeance Is My Name.
Oh, I actually really like
Vengeance.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I liked 1,000 Burning Arrows, and Vengeance was good too.
I didn't get that feel at all, the filling tracks. I thought it was very
I guess that's the
flowing.
Wrong word.
Yeah.
I guess that's the wrong word. It's just, the other ones to me are super catchy. They're all single worthy to me and really good. Those were the only two where I felt I didn't feel like super pumped off them. Because I like the other ones so much. But that's interesting, actually, that you guys really like those ones.
Yeah, I think let's play a One Against All.
Yeah, that one gets me pumped. Like I said, you just start thinking about yourself.
The group vocals at the end, and it's just a cool song.
One Viking standing against whatever, I don't know. I'm obviously a nerd.
One man. But
now you're just pulling at strings now or whatever.
I did forget to kind of mention, though, I really do like the range that he experiments with in the CD. The singer's going, like, usually when you get Amon Amarth, it's just Amon Amarth. Like, you know, same thing. But he really does experiment on this, you know, with the spoken words or the higher ranges and stuff.
I meant to say that, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
Maybe that's what was weird for me. And maybe that's why the lyrics.
You're just looking for that just straight.
Yeah. You know? And it's more of.
Well, I know our one buddy on Twitter, August Furman, he said the same thing. He did not like the spoken word parts.
No, yeah, he did, yeah.
Which, so, I get it. I like it, though. It's thematic to me.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a movie. I can get behind
it. And sometimes I thought it was okay, and sometimes I thought it was corny when I was listening to it. So, it kind of like, I mean.
You gotta be in the right mood for that.
Yeah, there were times where, honestly, I fast-forwarded through it, because I was like, all right, just get to the music, so.
But I'm with you, Stan. He's the star of the show. Anyways.
Getting into, you're throwing it back again with this album discussion.
Yeah, a cool little thing.
Yeah.
Throwback album.
Yeah, talking about Unearth, The Oncoming Storm. Want to throw this out, if I was rating this, if this album came out today, it would get like a fucking 9 or like a 9.5, maybe even a 10.
If it came out this week, really?
Like if it came out this week, and we were doing a review on this album, really? And it would seriously get
I rated it too. It'd be like a nine and a half, nine.
Dude, it'd be like a 9.5 for me, just because like think of everything else that's coming out now, and then for that album to come out now, it'd be like such a throwback to the time.
I see what you're saying.
Where that's why I'd be like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
You feel like it'd be like, cool, it's just a straight ahead old school metalcore.
It's just, yeah.
So you would like that.
Yeah.
Because I look at it as like, that's been done so much at this point that if I don't look at it through the lens of this was back in 2004, then,
yeah.
I would rate it actually like more of like a 6 or 7. But looking at it as a classic album, as a classic Unearth album, at the time it came out,
mm-hmm.
it's a phenomenal album. I love it.
I'm with you there, Chad. this album is amazing, man.
I guess I've avoided classic metal, you know, core, or excuse me. Like, so that's why it's like this stuck out, like shit stuck out back in the day, but I tried to weed out the garbage.
Yeah, so much stuff came after it, but these guys just did it better. Yeah. Like, these guys are just... awesome.
Right. Because it's like they laid
the foundation.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a heavy hardcore influence, and that's why I think I liked it so much. There's so much core in there that it's like it doesn't fit the. Like, think about how much different these guys are from, you know, Killswitch.
And they're
lumped into the same, you know, category, but yet, to me, they're two... That's night and day between the two of them, so...
But it's very melodic, death metal-ish riff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. why I like it, because Killswitch almost got the little bit alternative feel, I guess.
They do.
Or, like, groovy...
You're right.
Pantera-ish kind of feel,
yeah,
too.
I throw Poppy out there a little bit, but yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
These guys don't have that.
These got Swedish riffs the whole time, and they just do it good.
And they really mix... hardcore with the Swedish riffs. If somebody asked me what's metalcore, this would be I guess I'd give them this and maybe like Alive or Just Breathe or End of Heartache. Mm-hmm. I'd give them those two to see both sides. Because like, you know, it's funny. I just watched a couple interviews with these guys just to kind of see what they were saying around this time. And when they just toured on this album 2014 for the 10 years.
Mm.
And they were just talking about it a little bit. And somebody asked them like what they think about metalcore. And they basically said they wish that all these bullshit bands kind of would stop using that term. They didn't say bullshit. They just said the bands that mm-hmm. are really, really catchy and all the cleans and all that stuff that they said, that's fine. And they do that stuff good. But what happened to, there's no core. There's no hardcore in there.
Yeah.
They said like when they started, Killswitch, them, all those bands, Shadows Fall, they still kept that hardcore element.
Well, cause, mm-hmm.
And then the name got tarnished by mm-hmm. all these bands that came after them. But yeah. That's why people don't like metalcore.
Well, exactly, yeah. Well, because I was just going to say, it's like the thing that sets these guys apart from you, what you were just saying, is I hear 3 breakdowns in one fucking song on this Unearth album. I don't hear any breakdowns in some of this new metalcore.
Well, you do, but it's not.
But it's not a breakdown. It's not
breakdowns influenced by previous, other metalcore bands.
Yeah, yeah.
These are breakdowns influenced by hardcore. Yup,
and that's what I'm talking about. That's the difference. That's, yeah. Well, that's exactly the difference between a breakdown and, yeah, something. It's like, yeah, it's.
They just do it so good. I don't know a band that could put three breakdowns in and make it good. Like, well, I, you know, like, and it's just going to get, like, deathcore stupid. Like, you know, these guys just do it, like, the transitions and, like, I don't know. Talented musicians, for sure.
You know, when I was listening to this, because I haven't listened to this in probably 6 years.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And I was like, man, this production's really good.
It is.
I was like, this is really familiar sounding. I was like, this has got to be Adam D.
Oh, it is.
Plus,
yeah.
They're from Massachusetts, and I kind of put two together. I looked it up, and it is. It's produced by Adam D. And
you fucker, I was going to just say that. And then you just swoop it in there. No, go
carry
ahead.
On,
you were just doing such a
Johnny
good job.
To act like he knows more than I do.
Well, I was just going to say, because of the fact that, you know, you had them and Killswitch, you know, out at the same time, but yet you had Adam D producing this, just how, you know, how did you think it sounded?
And I
you
think were, it sounds
you,
great.
Yeah, well,
great.
Yeah,
sorry, puberty or something.
I guess the question, though, wasn't, I guess, because you passed the puberty on to me now, not necessarily the sound quality, because anything that Adam D does is going to sound great, but if you compare this to some of the other Unearthed albums that Adam D didn't have any influence on, do you think that there's a little bit of a Killswitch influence here?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I was going to say, it's not,
But I guess it's a good time to bring it up, though. There is the other CD I do like from them, the only other one I like from them is The March, which also Adam D did.
He didn't do any other ones?
I don't believe so.
Really?
I don't believe so. I could be wrong.
You don't like any of their other ones, though?
Not as much. Like, you know, they're solid, but I'm not going to write home any.
I'm with you. Those are my two favorite as well.
Yeah.
But I like them all. That one that came out in 2014 was pretty damn good, too.
Yeah.
Thrashy, fast. They've got a couple in between that I have more, even more melodic parts than, like, this one does. And I like them all, but I agree. I mean, really, the only ones I ever really dug into were this one and... And The March. The March is pretty good, too.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know, it was a perfect, like, you know, 2004, fresh sounding, you know, they had Adam D's influence, you know, it was just, it's pivotal in the metalcore.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But.
So Adam D, though, he did go up to Darkness in the Light.
Oh, did he?
That was
okay.
The last album that he produced for them, and it's actually fucked up. Justin Foley.
Drums on it?
Yeah, did drums on
really?
The album.
Okay.
So much crossover.
But you know, it's
kind of... It's that area. Yeah.
It is weird, though. They do get lost in that, you know. We always think about Killswitch, Shadows Fall, and I don't even like them that much, but All That Remains.
Exactly.
But, you know, these guys are just like... There's the big four. It's not the big three. Like, you know, these guys are in it, but you...
Never get brought up.
And I think
why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, Killswitch just got so...
But what would the obvious answer be? You know what I'm saying? There's no cleans.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
the
rest. That's true. They don't fuck with them. Well,
they said they don't. I was listening to an interview, and he was like, one of them was saying they don't. They really don't think they'll ever do clean choruses. They say they'll throw cleans in like verses.
Well,
because
you still see clean
and
hardcore and shit, even if they don't do clean. You get what I'm saying? Because they have that chant stuff at times.
They just don't want to go that route. They said they want to stick.
I like that, and I respect that. I mean,
yeah,
I love that.
They really did. Like they were asking them, why don't you know? You would be so much more popular. You could sell more. And they were just like, we don't give a shit. Like this is what we want to hear. This is how what we said when we started this band. Is this is how we want to be, and they've stuck to that. Like, they are very much, they stick to, a code. You know what I mean? Like, they don't stray from that, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would probably be good with cleans and all that. The one,
the
cleans
it would be,
there,
but
it's
like
good.
Like we said, there's enough of that. It may or may not sound like, you know, some other shitty generic band out there, so.
When I was listening to this, I did think of bands like Parkway Drive.
I was going to say,
right?
And that's another
very Horizons-ish.
Very Horizons-ish.
I mean,
and that's why it was, you know, it was so appealing listening
sound-wise
to it again.
Sound-wise and just the way...
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did Parkway take off so much more than Unearthed? I mean, honestly, it's not that much drastically different.
They experimented in there.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, yeah, but they didn't experiment until this last album when they had already achieved their success.
But they added them a lot of melody, right, Stan? Like in Horizons, there was a lot of melody in there. But they didn't do cleans.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
So they kept that honor kind of like aesthetic, but yet they launched somehow. I guess, I don't know. Maybe it was just the songwriting. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because I'm just trying to think right now, and it's like I don't really think that Horizons and this album sound that different than each other. Like, it's not like Horizons. I mean, maybe there's like one or two more examples of, you know, a melodic part. I mean, with the exception of Carry On. Yeah, that's the one radio factor, though. So then, I mean, and it's a still a song that they still play to this day at every concert. Mm-hmm. So can we maybe say that it was, I mean, I just throwing well, the like, one song. You have one song to drag everybody in.
Right.
And then you get what I'm saying?
Because I would compare it to like Zombie Autopilot. Mm-hmm. That's their one like more, it's got the like, I don't want to use that word like emo, but it's got the like more emotional ending, you know, really melodic. That's where I would think that that's their catchy moment. But it's when you think of like Carry On, that's extremely catchy.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe there's where it is, you know. Or I even thought of like August Burns Red, their first album with Barbarian on it. What's it called?
It's not Messengers, is it?
Little Suburbias and Ruins. You know what I'm talking
about?
That before Messengers. Anyways,
Constellations?
No,
I don't know. There's so many albums of them.
Like really big Unearth influence. If you go back and listen to that, and again, they blew up, but they did experiment a little bit more too.
What's some of you guys' favorites besides Zombie? I mean, that's just it's a good song. I like Failure a lot.
Failure's good. Number One is really good. I like there's the two, One Step Away and The Charm. Those ones, when I was listening back, like I don't remember them as much because they're at the end of the album. But those ones threw me a little bit. They were a little, you know, they have a different style to them, I guess. But they're catchy, kind of fun. The riffs in them, I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are they bonus tracks?
I think they actually might be.
They're not on my. I don't.
That's why I was like, these don't really fit with this feel. The
fucking bonus tracks again, dude. Like, fuck you guys. I know. Every time I listen to a song, I'm like, oh, dude, that song was so awesome.
That's why I don't remember.
It's not on my album. Like, what do you mean it's not on your album?
Well, as far as the album goes, Endless is great. The Great Dividers is great. Failure. Let's do Failure, Stan. I know you like that one. What have we done? Am I found that I would come to this? Eternal sense of self-hatred. But I know what has just what we did. This is an open book of failure. To save ourselves, all that we can, so we can be. Cycle of life disrupted. Rupted by a force too close to home. Chaos rise through our blood. Close your eyes. Just don't forget. This guilt runs on and on. And all sense is gone. This guilt runs on and on. Consumed, all sense is gone. This guilt runs on and on. Charred. These wings of spirits. Godless relations.
Oh, I know.
Those like, riffs, dude.
I listening back to this album, like, I had to pick up a guitar. I had to start learning how to sweep.
Same
like,
here.
I don't know. Sweeping's always been a nemesis of mine, and I've been really trying lately. I always was like, I'm going to learn a sweep, and it never happens, but...
I'll give you some lessons one day if you want, buddy.
These guys are really technical, though, too. And like, one thing I like about... They use 7-string guitars, which you don't see a lot of that in metalcore, unless it's gent.
No, you don't.
You know... And, like, the way they just play with the neck and, you know, they bring a lot of... It's not just built around the low string of a guitar like every other band. It's, you know, they actually really have music behind it and the way, you know...
Yeah, I agree, dude. I picked up my guitar as soon as I was listening to this and I was trying to learn a couple of these songs. Fantastic riffs. So much Gothenburg Swedish influence throughout it. I mean, it's great album. If you've never listened to Oncoming Storm from Unearth. Listen to it. They're on tour right now. I don't know if they're done yet, but these guys, I hope they get their due at some point.
Yeah.
Well, like I said earlier, we have an interview with Trevor Phipps. He's the vocalist of Unearth, so he's going to talk a little bit about the album, The Oncoming Storm. So check that out after the episode.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us for this episode. I want to thank you guys all for listening. Thanks for to Metal Blade for giving us that album early.
Yeah. I'm on a mark. Yeah.
And thank you for the suggestion. I had a lot of fun thinking about like Guilty Pleasures and stuff. You know.
Yeah, I agree. I really
send us your questions. Yeah, I know we've kind of forgotten about a couple.
I know,
but send them to us and we'll do our best. Throw them on the show. We like any kind of questions. And then we got another next episode. Pretty cool. We've got an interview with Jaffra Cowboy, Nick from Jaffra Cowboy.
Great band.
We're going to talk about some of our favorite bassists in metal.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that then.
Stay tuned.
I'm Shoddy.
Jason.
Stay in the man.
And thank you guys for listening to another episode of Into the Combine.
Stay metal.
All right, man. So right now you guys are on tour then. How long is that going for?
The tour we're doing right now, it's called the Fury Tour. It's just about exactly a month long. And we have another about 10 days left.
Okay. How's that going so far?
It's going all right, man. We're at a fest right now in Texas, Texas Independence Festival. And it's a pretty packed gig, so looking forward to playing later.
Cool, man. So, I know you, in 2014, you guys did do a tour for the Oncoming Storm, right?
We did.
How was the reception for that overall, and how did it feel like getting back to those old songs?
It was real fun playing those songs. I mean, we still play a few off that album anyways, because that's a big record for us, so it's a bunch of songs are kind of crowd favorites. But we played some songs we hadn't played in years. We also played some songs we had never played from that record. So it was real refreshing to play some songs that we never played.
What was the crowd reaction like? Was everybody feeling it?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we played the entire song off of our other albums, including one off our new record, which at the time wasn't released yet. So we played a pretty long set, and it seemed like each crowd was extremely happy and high energy each night.
Right on, man. So why do you think it's been such a popular record for you guys? Like, it just seems like that's definitely a fan favorite.
I think it's just a time and a place. I mean, I'm a fan of all of the records, but that was our second album. It's right at kind of the pinnacle of that new wave of American metal. I think from start to finish, it's a really, really solid record. And I think that just kind of really spoke to people at the time. And I think it's helped us continue to have a career worldwide. It kind of gives a foundation to continue making records. And whereas our other records have all had some, success and that kept us going, that was the one that really put us on the map.
Right, right. So you guys went into that one. You guys chose Adam D to record that album. Was there any specific reason why you went with Adam?
Well, Adam did our first record too, Sticks of Conscience. He was an up-and-coming producer at the time, in the early 2000s. And we heard him do a record by a band called As the Sun Sets. And it was everything we wanted to hear from a producer that, we could afford at that time. And he did our first record. We did him, became really close friends. We did some light coring with Kill Switch Engage. And it was a no-brainer to have him do Storm.
What do you think he brought to the table for that record? Did he have a lot of influence on it?
Yeah, he would advise our guitar players if they had a harmony. He might have a different harmony to it. It might add to it. They didn't always take the advice, but that's just something that he would add to the album or bring to the table.
So when you guys did that, how compared to this Things of Conscience, how much time did you have in between that to write that album?
Well, we put out Stings, and that was January 2001. Storm didn't come out until June of 2004, so it was over 3 years. But we did put out an EP in between in 2002 called Endless, and that song Endless is actually on on Storm. So essentially, we had almost 3 years to write those songs.
So how do you think it? How do you think this album stacks up to the rest of your discography? Like, where does it fit for you?
You know what? I kind of go back and forth on that a lot. It has probably the catchiest songs we have. I'm not going to say my favorite songs, but I can see why it would be a fan favorite. Vocally, I'm more of a fan of In the Eyes of Fire. As far as heaviness goes, I like our last record, Watchers of Rule. As an overall, a catchy sound and something that was kind of new at the time. I think Storm is a very, very important record for us.
What were you guys, you know, listening to most around that time? Any specific bands, you know, kind of influencing you guys at all?
When we first started touring, we started touring in 2001. We had our favorites that would always be in, you know, just playing in the van on the floors we were on. And I know we had a lot of Crowbar, Sonata Arctica. What else? A lot of In Flames. I know Killswitch Engage, you know, friends, we're playing a lot with them. And Name of God, so I think we're just kind of in that kind of unit together. Yeah, the In Flames, At the Gates, Crowbar. That was just the kind of stuff that we've been playing in the band a lot. I'm not sure if it bled into our songwriting, but that was kind of what the band was into at the time.
So when you guys were putting this album out, and you know, even Stinks of Conscious, it seems, you know, metalcore at that time was pretty novel. It was a newer, kind of more of an exciting subgenre. What did you guys think once you started to notice a lot of the other bands that kind of came after you guys, you know, kind of being influenced by you guys and kind of taking that sound and using it as well? What did you guys think of that kind of explosion of metalcore?
I didn't mean you did something right. People start to copy you. That said, I feel like metalcore starts to become a little watered down because true metalcore is actual metal mixed with hardcore. And that's why you get that tag to it. And what ended up happening was bands started to hear a metalcore sound, and then it became a little too safe for my liking. I'm not saying it wasn't good, it just wasn't what I wanted to hear for that particular style. And that's why I think it kind of died out, it got a little lame. It just got too safe, you know, so that's why people always look at that next edgy thing. And that's why I feel like each one of our records has changed up a bit, trying to have more of an edge to it and not follow that same formula each record.
So, you know, with the Massachusetts scene, back when you guys did that album, or back, you know, in the beginnings there, when everybody was kind of coming up kind of around the same time, what was that like for everybody? Was everybody friends playing shows together? Was there influencing each other? Or how was it back then?
Yeah, it was a friendly competition is what I called it back then. And that seemed like all of us, Shouts Fall, Killswitch, All the Remains, the Red Chord, even Lamb of God, even though they're from Virginia, it felt like every record, we each trying to outdo each other. And we're all really close friends. We all did like week-long tours together. We've never done a full U.S. with Killswitch or Lamb of God, but we did plenty of shows with them back in the day. So it was it felt like an extension of school, you know, whether it be high school or college. It kind of felt like we're keeping our young years going, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, it always reminded me and the other guys on the podcast kind of the Gothenburg melodic death metal scene where you had In Flames and At the Gates and Dark Tranquillity and all those guys kind of influencing and pushing each other, you know, and even how you guys both had that scene coming out of a very distinct, specific area, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I could even throw in Darkest Hour, them being from D.C. They were kind of in the mix, just the north of the U.S. all kind of fell into play at the time.
So, you know, a lot of those bands in and around you guys, you know, did throw a lot of clean vocals into the mix. And then you guys really used it just very sparingly. Is there any reason for that specifically? Like why you guys kind of stuck to your kind of your style instead of doing what the other guys were doing?
We always appreciated the heavier aspect of it. It wasn't, the clean vocal wasn't really part of our sound. But the intention of our band for clean vocals is to only use it as another instrument and not as a main focus. It just doesn't really fit the songwriting that we want to hear. We'll dab with it here and there, but it's not, this band won't be, you know, a Killswitch or an As They Die with the big choruses. You know, we'll have our clean vocals here and there, but it's not the kind of songs that we want to write. We enjoy those bands, you know, those bands we really listen to, but it's not what this band wants to be known for.
Yeah, man, I respect that a lot. And I think that's a reason why I know I'm an Unearth fan, just because you guys do stand out because of that. You never really went that route, never felt like you guys were trying to sell out. Not that any of those bands were, but you guys kind of stuck to your thing, which I always thought was pretty badass.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah, I think like a band like Killswitch, that they start out doing that, so you can't call it a sellout. But when the other bands that start out as heavy and then they have, you know, their eyes on the prize or whatever, and they change just not drastically, then you can kind of that can be more of a sellout look. But I mean, they're all artists, you know, they can do what they want. But I was a kid growing up, and my heroes all sold out. You know what I mean? Like Metallica went light, Megadeth went light, even Testament had a light record in the Ritual, like Bagany. Like all these bands tried their hand in the commercial scene. And as a kid, I was bummed out. As an adult, I get why those bands tried it. There's a lot more financial stability when you succeed at that level. But as a kid, I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to sell out. You know, if I end up in a band, I want to have, you know, be as credible as possible and play just the song that I want to play.
Did you guys ever get any pressure, like from any of the labels or anything like that? Anybody trying to push you in that direction to follow that or no?
I wouldn't call it pressure. There's one song off of Darkest in the Light that Ken wrote. It's called Overcome. I know that Metal Blade is very happy with that song. That's the closest song that we have to a commercial metal song. It's a song that we put on the record, and after it's out, you know, me, Buzz, and Slow weren't really feeling the song. Ken wrote it, so he liked it, of course, but it just kind of died out. We didn't play it live. I know that Metal Blade liked it for a second, but then when they saw that we weren't really enthused with it, then they just kind of dropped it.
Okay. So going on from here out, you know, you guys put out Watchers of Rule in 2014. Have you guys been doing any writing at all for the next album? Do you have anything going on with that?
Yeah, there's stuff in the works right now, and just skeletons. But I think the goal right now is to hopefully end up in the studio by the end of the year or at the latest early next year. But there's still touring to do on Watch the Rule, so you can expect to see us again. But we are starting to write.
You guys, what I like too is each album, like you said, it is definitely a different style, different direction for each one. Do you guys, I'm sure you guys plan on doing that again. Do you have any idea of where you'd like to go at all?
The stuff that is going now, it's not too different than Watch the Rule, but there is a little bit more groove to it. This last record is pretty technical, probably our most technical record. So there'll be some of that on the record. Maybe some songs that are going to exceed that. But other songs, we might peel it back and add more of that groove that we had more on kind of maybe the March and on the Storm. Just try to kind of mix and maybe even do something different as well. So it's just kind of the early stages right now. There's more groove and there's also more tech. So it's just kind of all over the place right now.
All right, man. I won't take any more of your time. I really want to appreciate you for taking the time to do this.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.